It's 13 minutes past 7 on your Better Mix 99.7. Good morning and welcome to the Saturday Lifestyle Show. We're going to talk some health and happiness right now. Of course, Claire's in the studio with me. Good morning, Claire. How are you?
Good morning, Rick. I'm fabulous today.
Fantastic. You look bright and breezy and everything in this sort of dull and dreary weather outside.
I know. I thought it was supposed to be sunny today, and I'm driving up here and there's, you know, these showers. I have to do a shout out to the people that I saw along Woody Point in boot camps. Absolutely drenched, but still doing their squats and their burpees, and love it. Love
good
seeing
on
that.
Them. How many was there? Was there a lot of people?
Yeah, it was a few.
Mm. Okay. Oh, good on them. Well done to them. Getting out and enjoy this wet weather. Hey, now, let's talk about what's happening in the world of health and happiness. A couple of things I just noticed during the week. Guys in particular sort of fall into this category, but I suppose everyone has this sort of this thing where you kind of get niggles, or you get little things that go wrong in your life, and you feel a bit strange, or, you know, things aren't just working as well as they could be. Is there things in our life that we should sort of do as for ourselves and check ourselves and go, yeah, it's not quite right. Do I need to go and see a doctor or not? Is there things in life that we can sort of go, you know, well, if my waist measurements are wrong size or whatever, is there signs that we can look for?
Yes, there is. Yeah, definitely there's signs that you can look for. There's some really obvious ones, I will say, obvious to me, that you'll read a lot about these checks. For example, your blood pressure. And I know not everyone can go and take their blood pressure at home, but you can actually go to a pharmacy. Lots of pharmacies will have a blood pressure check. And if your blood pressure is a bit high, then that's a sign that you should possibly go to the doctors and just get it checked out.
So just on blood pressure very quickly, where would be the normal range?
120 over 80 is considered normal. Anything 140 over 90 is considered getting it high. Yep. And, you know, that there could be many reasons for that. Sometimes people get what they call white coat fever. So when they go to the doctor's, or even if they went into the pharmacy and, the pharmacist with the white coat on take their blood pressure, they sort of get anxious at that particular moment, and their blood pressure could sort of get, you know, sort of spike. So it's really good just to go to your doctor and get it checked out, because it may not just be your blood pressure, that, you know, the doctor will check everything out.
Yeah, yeah.
But if it is, you know, 140 over 90 and it's consistently that, then, yes, you definitely should go and get it checked out.
So that's blood pressure,
What waist measurement. If you've got a tape measure hanging around at home, for females, if your waist measurement is over 80 centimetres and for males it's over 94 centimetres.
94,
Yeah, that means that you could be at an increased risk of, you know, some chronic diseases.
Yep.
And that's when the alarm bell should sort of go, you know what, I really should start to look at my lifestyle and what I'm eating and, my exercising. So that's another one, because if we store, and we do waist measurements, because when you store fat around your middle, which is where all your vital organs are, that's when it's the most dangerous. You know, a lot of women are pear-shaped and they go, oh, you know, I'm so fat because I've got, you know, fat on my thighs and my hips. But that's not actually as dangerous. You know, a lot of women, it's there for a reason, you know, pregnant. But when you start storing it around your middle where all your vital organs are, that's when it is dangerous fat. And that's, you know, it causes all sorts of things, you know, type 2 diabetes, increased risk of stroke, all sorts of things. So you really, if you can get a tape measure and measure your waist, and if you are, you know, on the larger side, then, yeah, I would definitely be seeking some advice.
Okay, so for guys, it's kind of really strange because they kind of got this thing about, yeah, I'm Tonka tough and I don't need to go to the doctor. How do you break down those barriers?
Oh, that's a hard one. I did read some research during the week saying that guys who are in a stable relationship with a woman were probably more likely to go to the doctors, because the women nag them. It's like, no, what are you doing? You should go to the doctors. But I think it's notoriously for males. They don't like to go to the doctors. I think, you know, they don't like disclosing a lot of things. They have that, you know, I'll be right, mate, attitude. It could be a time factor. A lot of males, you know, are working 9 to 5 or in jobs where they're out on sites, and it's really hard to take time off to go and sit in the doctor's surgery, whereas women will make the effort. Like, if they are working full-time, they go, no, this is a priority for me. Whereas I think guys just tend to go, you know what, no, I'll be fine. And so it's very hard to get males into the doctor's surgery. I think definitely anyone over 50 should be having a yearly checkup. That's just, you know, I think that's what you should do. But we used to run this great program, and I was working for Cancer Council Queensland called the Pit Stop Program. Have you heard of that?
I have. I've heard of Cancer Council, but I don't know the Pit Stop one.
The Pit Stop program was awesome because it actually took the health checks to places where guys hang out. So we would actually go and set up a pit stop out the front of a Bunnings because that's where a lot of guys go on the weekends. And it would be on a Saturday morning, and we'd set up this pit stop. And it was a whole lot of health check stations, but set up like a racing track.
So it
was great. So we had, you know, tablecloths that were racing car tablecloths with the checkered, checks on them. And all of the stations were named after, a car. So we would have come and get your oil pressure checked, which is your blood pressure. Come and get your chassis measured, which is your waist measurement, and a whole lot of theme stuff. And the guys would go, oh, this is pretty cool, and they'd come and get their blood pressure checked, and they'd come and have do a questionnaire about whether they could be at risk for bowel cancer.
Right, yeah.
And for them it was just like, we've broken down the barriers, we've taken it to them, it's not so threatening.
Yep.
And if they were at high risk in any of those areas, it was a wake-up call, go, you know what, you really do need to go and see your GP. And
that's a great way to start, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a really successful program.
Yeah, so just you would have done plenty of those, but how did the guys do? Was there a large percentage of guys that did need to do something about their health, or was it tend to be younger people or older people, guys that came through that?
All sorts, actually, a whole range of ages. And there were quite a few that really hadn't seen a doctor for absolutely ages and ages. And some of them would have their wives with them going, I told you so. But it was very much a health awareness program. Yep. So we weren't there to solve anything. It was just to go, are you aware of your blood pressure? And a lot of these guys would never have had their blood pressure taken. Yep. And they just weren't aware of that. They weren't aware of the symptoms of bowel cancer, and so this was just a really good awareness tool to go, it is time for maybe you to go to your GP and just have a chat about this and take this little card, show that you we've done these checks and have a chat about it.
It's interesting that you say that they were held outside a hardware store for a guy. Maybe that may have increased their blood pressure as well, because they're excited about going in there and doing some shopping.
I love it.
So that might have been like the white coat fever as well. I don't know. That's just for me anyway. My blood pressure probably be through the roof if I was going to the store. But anyway, that's a great sort of thing. And bringing a medicine to a guy rather than him having to sit in a waiting room for 2 hours or whatever and wait for a doctor, and for a guy, that's a real pain.
Yes, I know. Yeah, it is. Whereas women, we just sit there with a magazine and go, oh, great opportunity to sit down and not have the kids hassling me.
Absolutely. So for a guy, that's a real headache because, they just sit there and what do you do? Mm. You don't talk to anyone, and like you do the silly TV on with some silly show on. But anyway, so that's a good idea though, isn't it? Bringing health to guys in particular and getting them at least breaking down barriers.
Oh, definitely. And as I said, it is a very much an awareness tool. And I think for anyone in terms of, if you're at home and you're sort of thinking, should I go and see a GP? The biggest thing that I want to say to people is be aware of your body. What is normal for you? What is normal for your body? So if you can usually go out and say do a half hour run with no problems at all, and then suddenly one day you go out and you're extremely tired and you're running out of breath and this goes on maybe for a week, alarm bells would be going off saying, this is not normal for my body. I need to seek out professional opinion on this because this is not right. And I think so if people can just really be in tune with their body, and as soon as something is not quite right and it's out of the normal for you, then that's when I would, seek further advice on, hey, what's going on here?
Yeah. All right, Claire, we'll take a break and we'll come back with more right here on 99.7. Santana on Your Better Mix, 99.7. It's 24 minutes before 8 o'clock. We're going to talk some health and happiness right now. And, Claire, we're going to talk about colds and flu. It is officially now the 1st of June. Winter time is here. Colds and flu season. What's your take on that? How do you get rid of colds? How do you stop yourself getting colds and flu? Is there a trick to it?
There is. Well, I'm always into preventative health measures. So that's, a topic that I could probably talk on for ages. And it always comes back to the same thing. It's eating healthy and exercising. That just, all the time, it keeps coming back to it. If you want to prevent yourself getting sick, and even just common colds and flu, it's make sure that you exercise, make sure that you're active, that you're getting the blood flowing through all parts of your body, and you're fueling your body with the with the right stuff. Premium fuel, so foods that are not processed, foods that have the least human intervention, foods that are high in antioxidants, so that's anything natural.
Yep, yep.
That's the biggest thing to prevent it. But sometimes we succumb to the flu.
We do.
We do. And I think for people, it's once again, it's listening to your body. So if you know you're coming down and you feel coming down with something and you're feeling sick, and you'll know because you'll start to get the runny nose and the watery eyes and the sore throat. And a lot of people, I think, don't know the difference between colds and flu, because there's a massive difference. Do you have any idea what the difference is?
I get most people would say to me a flu is just a really bad form of a cold. That's what I think that's what most people kind of think of it. But I know that they are very, very different. But I just get the feeling that, that most people want more sympathy if they say they've got the flu rather than cold.
Kind of like the man flu.
Well, yeah. What do you think of is that true? Is there a man flu?
Yeah, in the minds of men, maybe. So maybe a cold is the man flu. Oh, I'm going to get told off here. But no, they are very, very different. So a cold basically is you're feeling a bit stuffy in the head, you've got a runny nose, you're sneezing, your eyes are watery, and you've got a sore throat. Generally with the cold, you can still sort of go around your normal everyday activities. You could probably, you know, take some Panadol or some Sudafed if you need to, but generally you can sort of carry on with most activities. With the flu, you will know when you have the flu because you can't get yourself out of bed. You've got aches and pains, sometimes an upset stomach, you're running a fever, you've got the cough. So it is very, very different. And when you have the flu, you need to stay home and really look after yourself.
That's the type that men get.
That's the type that men get. That's really probably a cold, but they just want to stay in bed and get the sympathy.
Absolutely. I think that comes with it, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's all part and parcel of it.
That's a married men's flu, I think. Anyway. I've noticed, I don't know if you've seen it in the past, you know, you look at footage from overseas on different cities, and you see guys, or particularly a lot of the populations in Asia, for example, wearing the masks around their faces. Do you think that sort of, I mean, that's probably not only for colds and flu, but that's for pollution and all those sorts of things. Is that going to stop you getting cold and flu?
Well, it could certainly help, because the way that flu is transmitted is actually through, like, droplets. So,
okay.
So when you sneeze, those little droplets containing the virus can travel about a metre. So if you're within that vicinity and you're breathing in those little droplets, then you're prone to getting that virus. And also if you shake hands with people who've got the flu, you can, it's transmitted that way. So that's why you always see lots of signs in doctor's surgeries and hospitals, like, wash your hands, because you can get rid of the germs. Because for people who've got, you know, a cold or a flu, they've constantly got their hands up to their nose and mouth, and then they go and shake hands with someone. Or when you touch a door handle with someone's, you know, infected and they've touched a door handle, that's another way that it's transmitted. So so it's really, that sort of hygiene is really, really important to stop passing it on to other people.
It's sort of incredible how it works. But just looking at colds, for example, mankind has come so far in the last 200 years in terms of like polio and all these other things that we're sort of trying to eradicate. Why can't we just nail the simple cold? Why can't someone come up with something that's just going to knock it like in a couple of hours and you're all better again? What's the problem with it?
I can't answer that one.
It's really strange,
idea.
Isn't it? Because it's not something that's potentially fatal.
No.
It sort of knocks you around for a couple
of
weeks.
It's annoying, really, isn't it? And, you know, I was just having a little read last night because I was thinking about colds and flu, and it suddenly popped into my mind. Everyone goes, oh, you know, don't go outside, you'll catch a chill. And I thought, oh, I have heard that that's a myth. I wonder if it really is a myth. You know, does cold weather actually make us catch a cold?
Yeah.
And I did a bit of Googling, and it is a myth, basically. You know, it's a myth that has been brought on from years and years and years ago your mum did say, don't go outside,
you'll get
a chill.
Yeah.
And I think it's more because in winter we tend to get the flu and a cold more so than we do in summer. And they're not really really sure why that is, but they do hypothesise that because we're not out and about much in the colder weather, we all tend to congregate in confined areas. Therefore, those germs are transmitted more easily.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, because I believe from the guys that work down in Antarctica that there's not too many colds and flu down there, even though you could probably get a chill pretty easily.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, you could be right. It's not what your grandmother said at all.
No, well, it's not.
She lied.
No, she did. She did. How dare she?
She lied to me. All that time I went out with six coats on. Unbelievable. Anyway, what about getting wet and then, like, you know, the wind going through and getting chilled that way? That's exactly the same?
Well, it's the same, because to actually get a cold or the flu, you've got to have the virus. So you've got to have it in those droplets. So if you're out getting cold and wet, unless the virus is present in that environment, then no, you're just going to get cold and wet. I mean, if you're a person that's got a compromised immune system, you know, getting cold and wet could, you know, sort of, I guess, bring down that your immunity, and so you may be more susceptible to catching that virus if you're in the vicinity of someone who's already got it.
A lot of people go by the belief, I don't know whether it's true or not, and I'll ask you, just taking massive doses of vitamin C to ward off colds and flu, yes or no? 3,000-4,000, you know, units of vitamin C a day, yes, no?
Ooh, I'm not really sure. I guess I can't really answer that, because I'm not, it's not my specialty area, so I'm not a doctor or a pharmacist or anything like that. But I guess from my an educated guess, I would say is that no. Once again, I don't think huge amounts of vitamin C would ward that off. I think once you've got the virus in you, but I do know. Like, for example, for myself, because I'm constantly working on my health and fitness, and you know, I do have a really great positive attitude, and I do feel my body right, that I tend to be able to ward off a lot of those viruses. I feel my body fighting them all the time, and I very, very rarely get sick. And I think that's my body's natural healing mechanism. I'm not going to let those viruses come in. But I think for people who don't eat the right foods, who don't exercise, who you know, don't have that positive attitude, they are more susceptible to those viruses getting in.
Okay. All right, well, it's 16 minutes before 8. News, sport and weather coming away at the top of the hour. We'll take a break and we'll come back with more on 99.7. Go back to 1974 with Cat Stevens. Another Saturday night on Your Better Mix 99.7. We're talking health and happiness right now. Now, Claire, we're going to talk about your tip of the week. And everyone's been following your tips every single week. I know my wife has. So this week it is about...
Yes, it's about balancing. Most of us forget all about how to balance, which is a bit weird, isn't it? And it's really important, particularly as we get older, because we stop doing a whole lot of stuff. Like as kids, we would, you know, jump onto little balancing beams and, you know, we would hop just, you know, on one foot and do all sorts of stuff like that. But we get old and boring as the years go on. And we actually do forget to how to balance, and we lose it very, very quickly. I don't know if you've ever noticed older people, when they walk, they actually shuffle.
Yeah.
And the reason why they shuffle is because they've lost the ability to balance. Because when you walk, you're actually balancing on one foot and then the other.
Yeah.
But because they've lost their ability to balance, they get quite fearful and they need to keep their feet really close to the ground. So that's why they shuffle.
Yeah.
So it's really important that we practice how to balance. We practice our balancing, I should say. And my challenge to everyone this week is just every day, just find a space in the house and just stand on one foot.
Somewhere near the bed in case you fall over.
Yeah, actually, that's a really good tip. Yeah, be near the bed in case you do fall over. But just stand on one foot for a while. How good you are at balancing. And you'll notice probably all the little muscles around your ankle just, you know, flexing and tightening, and just, you know, to try and control how you stand to make sure that you're standing still.
Yeah.
And then once you've got that sort of down pat, close your eyes and then see how you go.
Oh, wow, okay.
That is really, really difficult. And make sure you do it on both legs.
Yeah,
and move the leg that you've got up in the air, move it around a little bit and just practice getting control of just standing on one leg. It's just something that we don't do. And it's really true, the saying, if you don't use it, you lose it. That is so true. So start putting some balance into your day.
I've got to agree with you, absolutely, because, you know, if you go to the ski fields or you go to the roller skating rink or anything like that, you see these kids that are about 2 and 3 years old that just zip around as if there's no tomorrow, and you just feel really jealous, don't you?
Oh, I do. Yeah, you do. You think, what is it? And they have no fear either.
Yeah.
I think maybe because they're little, they've got less...
Maybe they bounce.
Yeah, they do. They bounce. They've got less to fall, you know, less ground.
Height, like height. Closer to the ground.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I was trying to think about. Yeah, closer to the ground.
Yeah, I saw a look. I don't know if you saw some of the footage during the week. This little guy was about 2 years old. There was skiing. And he's just like having a great old time, and you know, all balanced, wasn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Until he hit another skier and he sort of fell down, and his balance wasn't so good there. But hey, no, you're absolutely right. So if you do that a couple of times a week, will you feel a notice? You know, there'd be a big difference, like over a period of time.
Definitely, you'll definitely see the difference, and that's why doing yoga and tai chi and those sort of activities are really good for your balance. It's just letting the nervous system sort of come back into play, and first of all, they are like neural adaptations to balancing, and then you'll find that even the muscles in your legs will get a bit stronger as you just balance on one foot.
Yeah.
I often, when I'm working out, I'll often do single-legged workouts. I'll do single-legged squats and things like that, because quite often when we're always standing on both legs, more dominant muscles will take over. So if I'm more dominant on my right side, it'll actually take over and I'll be a little bit weaker on my left side. So it's really good when you're exercising to put some single balance and movements into your exercise routine.
Okay. Now, you've got an email site. If anyone wants to ask any questions or has any suggestions or anything, they can email you.
Definitely. I'd love to hear from you. It's hello@illumines.com.au.
Perfect. I hope people get in there. And lots of questions I ask you about balance for this week. Sounds like a great tip of the week. Now, Claire, you're away for a couple of weeks now, so you're heading up to around Queensland and doing all sorts of stuff. So have a good time while you're away.
I will. I'm going to miss you guys.
Well, you have a good week, and hopefully put up with this rain outside. It's not too bad. Hopefully it gets better. And have a good weekend, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks' time.
Great. Look forward to it. Thanks, Rick.
Okay, bye.